Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. Very pleased to be joined, as we are at least once a month, by Jane Paul from Early On, and we're talking early childhood education. Jane, welcome back to Lake 88.
Oh, thanks for having us on again.
It's always a pleasure. You always bring such fascinating insight, and we look forward to it. I know that our listeners really appreciate it as well. And so it's always great to hear what you're going to be coming at us with today. And today, I love this topic, creating a yes space.
Okay, well, I was reading an article, and I must admit, I was heading in a different direction when I was thinking about what we were going to talk about this time. But this one just really resonated with me. You know, it's all about creating a space so that kids can have a little more freedom to be creative. You know, our little ones live in a world where we say no, no, no all the time. You know, don't touch that. Put that down. You can't have that. No, no, no all the time. And we become these, you know, become the bad cop in the relationship, right? Where we're constantly stopping them from doing what they're doing. So this whole article was about, you know what, let's take some stress off both the adults and the kids here and create a space that kids can be kids in. And I think during this time of the pandemic, when so many of us are working from home, you know, and lots of people were, I mean, things are loosening up a bit and that's wonderful, but a lot of people still spend the majority of their time at home in the house, you know, without a lot of outside play because it's been so darn cold and not a lot of places to go to with young kids. So creating a space where kids are allowed to explore, kids are allowed to do their own thing, really resonated with me.
I agree. And I totally get where you're coming at with the We say no all the time. And really, it's a matter of watching the reaction. And, you know, every time my grandson, I ask him to do something and he says no to me. I know he's mimicking me, right? So I'm like, well, how can I change this around? And this sounds like a way that you can certainly do it. And creating a space, I really find that when they have ownership of an area or they feel like this is theirs, it's a comfort zone and so on, their demeanor can change quite a bit. It's a confidence.
Yeah, so it's really, you kind of nailed it. It's about a yes attitude. And the yes attitude is really one of openness, of a can-do kind of feeling, where kids feel like they really can go at things and be curious about them. It's trusting, it's safe. It gives them that flexible thinking where they can decide what it is they want to do and go at it. It makes them much more resilient. It's very positive and it's absolutely full of possibilities. Versus what we call sort of a no attitude. A no attitude is much more closed. It shuts people down. It puts them into what we call fight or flight because it's all about being defensive and protective and on guard. So it shuts down that learning and it shuts down the connection between them and the people around them and their environment, right? Because they're much more scared. It's an attitude of being frightened and rigid. And almost feeling small. I mean, if you can think about, you know, a big person coming at you saying no, no, no all the time, and you just kind of shrinking back, that's that no attitude. So creating a yes space that is their space that they can basically do what they want in it without us interfering and without us coming down on top of them all the time really changes the whole perspective of how they view the world. So it's more than just the space in there.
It's really interesting the way that this can affect not only their relationship with, you know, their chief caregiver, whether it be a parent or someone else, but really their relationship with the world, because you then get to see these traits develop as they interact with other people in other settings, right?
Right. It transfers over, right? It's really about what we call their internal working model, how they sort of come at the world and how they view the world. And that's a really important thing. You know, kids that struggle with that, that aren't feeling like they're in charge and in control, we call it self-efficacy, the fact that what they do in the world makes a difference. They have a harder time being much more resilient when things happen in the world and reaching out and doing things. So back to creating this yes space.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done this for years and years, maybe not to the extent they were talking about in this article, but if you can think back to when kids were little, I think back to my own, we had a Tupperware drawer and one cupboard that they were allowed into. So when I had to be busy cooking meals or doing something in the kitchen, you know, that was their place. They were allowed to go in there, haul things out, bang on them, open them, close them, you know, do whatever they wanted with them. And that kept them entertained and engaged while I was busy doing my stuff. So really that's what it's sort of expanding on that Tupperware drawer idea, creating a whole corner or an area. We did it when we had daycare, when we did home daycare in this house. You know, we sort of sectioned off the living room with couches and chairs so that there was an area that kids could be in where they were engaged with what was there, where it was childproof and safe. So thinking, you know, not a lot of cords hanging down, not the TV in there, plugs covered, that kind of stuff. And things that were at their level that they could get to, that they could haul out and play. So you want it to be engaging. You want it to be safe. You want it to be somewhat organized because this isn't a free-for-all. They still have to clean up. They still have to put away. They still have to take out and put back. And so we're going to help them with those things. We're not leaving them on their own. This doesn't absolve you of, you know, supervising your children. But what it does is allow you to be less of a policeman in there and allow them to go forward and lead in their play. So when it's engaging, you'll be surprised how long they will actually stay there. And it promotes much more independent play. That's something that parents ask me all the time. How can I get my child to play more independently? Especially in these days when, you know, we're all at home together and there aren't a lot of other people in there.
Yeah, and it's a big difference between letting them play independently and like locking them in an area and saying, have at it, like making these spaces, you can interact a lot with them as well, even though they feel like, you know, it's their space.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not that you don't have teachable time and teachable moments with them as well, but it just gives them a little more freedom, takes the stress off you for having to entertain them all the time and still allows them to play, because play is what kids are all about. That's how they learn everything, right? Development comes from play.
How do you foster then the independent play?
So it's really about creating this space where they know that they can go in. They know they're not going to get in trouble. They can reach things at their level, take them down and do it. But it is a skill. So when you first started, if they haven't, you know, been able to sort of choose the lead and lead the way themselves, it takes them a little bit of time to boost up that skill. But kids are naturally curious. So if you have things that are in there that are engaging, but not overwhelming, right? Not too busy to start with. So things like blocks, things like books, things like blankets to make forts with. Our guys were all climbers, our own kids and the kids we took in. We deal with young kids, so their bodies are meant to move. So you have to have something in there that allows them to do that, and they will take over and do what their bodies need to do. So like you said, it's not a free-for-all. There are still rules. I mean, they're not allowed to jump on all our couches and chairs and everything in the house, but they are allowed to take the cushions off. They are allowed to flip over the back. They're allowed to make a fort between the couch and the, you know, and the wall or the window. So that they're in there, they can move. We actually put a triangle climber up in the corner so that kids could climb and slide and go over the top and underneath. It's about making the things they need to do easy and able to be able to do so that they can go and do it without our help. And that's a big part of it. If you create the environment, they'll do what they need to do.
And I guess you really want to taper it to the individual child as well, so that, you know, there's no one size fits all with the early childhood education or any sort of childhood development. And this would be just another instance where you've got to really suit the child.
Sure. And you guys, I mean, your parents and their caregivers know the children much better than anyone else. So you can't sort of tell them what to put there. But you also may have, you know, on that same sort of theme, you may have more than one type of yes space You may have one that's a very active space where they can do all those things. You may have another one, a little quiet corner. And you'll see this in most of the kindergarten rooms now, off in the air, you know, in the corner where that has a quilt and maybe a beanbag chair, a few books, a stuffy, a place when the rest of the world is, when it's too stimulating, that you can get away from it. And kids will go and choose that area when they need it. And that's another type of yes area where they can just go to get away from it. Forts do that, mm-hmm. right? We talk about fort building. It's part of adventurous play where you want to feel alone in the world and a little bit lost and away from everything. You know, forts will do that. It gives you that safe space to be, to kind of de-stress in there. And kids, given the chance and the space to do that, will actually choose that when they need it.
Fantastic, Jane. Well, as always, you bring a lot to the table here. And if people would like to get more information about Early On and Crow, what's the best way for them to go about doing so?
So there's a few different ways. Our website is www.crowlanark.com, and you can find all the information on there. We have about 8 Facebook pages. Mine is Crow Parent Education, and you'll find a new schedule every week up there that tells you what's happening. We've got a lot more inside programming now that things have loosened up a bit. So lots of playgroups to go to. We still have our outside programming, and you can go on trail treks, which are more like toddler waddles while we, you know, explore the environment kind of thing. And we've got baby time Zooms. We've got music circles. You do have to pre-register for anything that's in person. So check out that schedule or the website, and it'll tell you how to do that, just because we have to keep track of our numbers that way. And do know that if you're heading outside, check the weather. If it's minus 15 or colder without the wind chill, then we're going to redirect you to a virtual type of thing. We've got also got lots of workshops coming up right now. We're working on Tips for Twos and a resiliency one, Bounce Back and Thrive. One of the favorites, You're Not the Boss of Me, is coming up very shortly. And also a one night just on positive parenting, which is talking about all these types of things that we're talking about today, that yes attitude and that can-do attitude, while still maintaining some limits in there, right? We still, you know, we still let them know what's okay and what's not okay, but hopefully we can do that less and less in that, you know, in that yes space.
All right. Well, sounds good, Jane. As always, wonderful information, and we look forward to our next conversation. That's for sure. Take care, and thanks so much.
Okay. And thanks for being such a community support out there. Keep going, you guys.
Oh, we will. As long as there's people like you, it's easy for us, right? So no doubt about it. Jane Paul from Early On. She'll be back with us with another feature on early childhood education next month. Now, tomorrow, it's our weekly local COVID-19 update with Leeds Grenville and Lanark District Health Unit Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Paula Stewart. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful afternoon.